Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 809 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by the duo of James Dean Rader, who's got his best button shirt, Ben Funky Askren, coming at us from the Great Salt Lake. He's in Utah for Kids Nationals. He coached Greco yesterday. He's doing freestyle today. He loves them both equally, and he'll never tell you otherwise.
Hey, I got a great discussion to start the show with.
Well, that's great. This is a discussion show.
Very curious what your opinion is. So A guy I know, Greg, he made a tweet yesterday, and he said, is Pittsburgh part of the Midwest? And I quote tweeted, I said, LOL, no. Then he started texting me. And I said, I don't even think Ohio is part of the Midwest. How do you guys feel about it? He thought that was preposterous. How did you guys feel about that?
I sort of consider – it's interesting because I
– You're Virginian.
Yeah, I'm a Virginian. I would consider Ohio part of the Midwest, like, thematically. But when you look at it on the map, it's pretty much – it's East Coast. It's East. I don't know. Pittsburgh, I just can't get with Pittsburgh being the Midwest. But –
Let me tell you how I think about it. And JD's a Midwesterner, so he's got to have an opinion also.
He is.
I think of like Indiana kind of the end of the Midwest, kind of, right? And then in my head, I think of like Michigan, maybe even Northern Indiana, Ohio, and part of Pennsylvania is kind of like the Rust Belt region, right? Where they had a lot of industry that's not there anymore. Like if you go to Johnstown, it's crazy how everything's just a lot of stuff's abandoned. And then I think like south of that is like the Appalachia region.
Let's go.
With all kinds of hillbillies and they're making moonshine and whatnot.
And the Piles family in the great Appalachians.
What do you think, JD?
Go ahead, JD. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't really consider – I think like it's not really cold, but like the Great Lakes should kind of be its own thing. Like Michigan, like – that's not really like part of the Midwest.
I feel like Michigan and Iowa are like sort of culturally east. So I'm good with them being east. It does feel like the Indiana, Illinois, Iowa. It's a different. I mean, look right here. This is just a different sort of thing. Ben Askren, different sort of thing.
You know, there are people out there that consider
Michigan
Oklahoma
feels like Canada to me.
Midwest.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Oklahoma is not. It's not.
No. Oklahoma, Midwest?
No.
Some people consider Oklahoma the Midwest.
No, says I. This is where. All right, look what Tyler has pulled up here. This looks like.
Most maps that I'm looking at on Google Maps consider Ohio the Midwest. Draw the line
no
at Pennsylvania.
Way. These people are wrong here.
Pittsburgh is atrocious. I don't know who's.
Pittsburgh.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I think Michigan and Ohio are out of that region. No way they're in there. I was actually thinking some of the things could probably be considered like into multiple categories, you know, like say Virginia, a lot of that, you know, obviously some of it's considered East Coast and some of it's considered like Appalachia region. Some of it might even be considered Deep South. Virginia might be split a bunch of ways.
There's all kinds of different slices of life in the Great Commonwealth, Ben. I was there. The slice I'm from is the Appalachian slice. It's the best part, in my opinion. Yeah. Northern
maybe
Virginia.
That part by DC. That's like kind of East Coasty a little bit.
Yeah, it's right terrible. There, you know? Yeah, terrible. Coastal elites.
Yeah.
Then there's the beach. It's got its own set of problems for sure. But yeah, okay. Some regional talk.
Well, I got another question.
This map is my favorite. I'm gonna send it.
All right, we're gonna send this map.
Uh-oh. Well. Then I got another question for you.
Okay, keep them coming.
Once we see this map.
No, we can go while we're pulling that in.
Oh, okay. Well, so I mentioned you. I got a coyote problem at my house. They keep eating my chickens, and we even got a video of them yesterday. Mr. Jacob Roshka was over there, and he caught a video of the coyote. It was ballsy. It wouldn't go away.
Well, I couldn't believe it would be that near the mower that's on, all in the name of a chicken. That must have been a hungry coyote.
Yeah. So, but you said your cousins are competitive in coyote hunting. And I was texting with you. I got to know what that means. Like, what does that mean? What does a coyote competition look like?
So basically, you get there's like a they you, all bets are off. They have like all this high powered machinery. It's at night. You go to the places and then you have a certain amount of time to come back with as many freaking dead coyotes. It's pretty simple. You kill as many
Like
coyotes
a
as you
12-hour
possibly
hunt
can.
or something, or
Yeah, it's
what?
like over a night or something. And then you come back and you kill as many as you can, and then whoever kills the most wins.
Who's the Virginia State champ?
Ooh, the Virginia. My cousin's husband is like very into it. I think he's really good, but I don't know. I don't know if there's a state championship like there are. You know, if there were in Virginia, you would have to assume there'd probably be six different state champions, just like in wrestling. That would be the only fair way to do it. But yeah, lots of Keith Gothard has a cougar problem in Lamont, Illinois.
I think he's messing with you.
I don't think he does.
I think he's messing with you.
JD has a cougar problem. I'm sure of that. I'm sure he probably does. But yeah, coyotes are a big problem. They're quite the nuisance to farmers. So you gotta get rid of them. So yeah, you gotta be careful letting, you know, your little ones running around out there. They don't normally mess
I
with
think,
little
listen,
kids.
this coyote, I sent you the video, Christian. That coyote's small.
That
Ozzy
was a
beat that
really
coyote
small
up.
coyote.
Ozzy would smash that thing.
Yeah. But that's a
Hey.
fearless one. That's a
Yeah.
coyote with nothing to lose, Ben.
Ozzy'd make it lose.
Ozzy. Okay. Into one of the mid-Atlantic states, Pennsylvania. Nate Cobbler tweeted this out. He's a journalist in Pennsylvania. He said that the new weight's been released for PIAA. 13 weight classes is listed by NFHS. And I don't think I'm going to read all the numbers because that's officially bad radio. But they basically got rid of they took 182 and 195, smushed them together, made it 189. And then basically every other weight is 1 pound higher than it was before, from 107 up to 172.
The 2 pounds, because 170 was one class.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, and 160 and 52
The
and
math
45
test.
stayed the same. There it
Yeah.
is. Look at my
I
sheet. That's
like them.
beautiful.
We actually just made the we made the weight class with the AWA duels, and we took out one upper weight also because those weight classes seem to be frequently forfeited.
Yes, they're thin. The upper weights are a little thin. So I
Yeah.
think it's good. I think 14 weights is a lot. I don't like that 103 is 106 is 107. I still feel like that could be like a lower weight. And it's fine.
I would hate that, but but it does, to your point, it does prohibit some kids from being competitive because they're just too small. And you
Yeah.
see a lot of smaller kids doing kind of multiple holdbacks, which I don't really hate. But then it's like, so, if they've done one, but then when they do the next one, because they're still too small, that's like crazy to me. So, I wouldn't mind 107 being smaller either.
Yes. Tanner Jack says coyotes are invasive on the East Coast. Kill as many as you want. Well, that's the approach in Virginia, I'm sure everywhere else.
Nice.
I don't see any debate about losing a weight class. I don't think kids are losing a lot of
Yeah.
opportunities there. I think it's a
It
lot
is
of starting
hard when you
spots.
think about like Christian, take the 182, 195, and 220 rankings essentially, and jam. So if Flo's got 20 guys ranked per weight class, that's 60 guys. Take those 60 guys and jam them into 40 guys, and it's like 20 really, really good guys are going to get left off the list, which is probably not ideal. But yeah, on a more local level, those weight classes are definitely thinner and weaker.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel the 82, 95, 220, you ended up having some top five-ish guys that really were they really, you know, I
Really?
think I don't know. I feel like you look at some of the previous rankings and it's like, man, there's just too many weights, and you can have some number ones that aren't really, you know, number one type of guys. It's just my opinion.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to go back to the previous years and see. It would also be interesting to see, and This is your quant division, but if there is some type of correlation between what weight class they finish at and then, collegiate success, right? So like if your 182, 195s, 220s weren't that good, then there's probably even a bigger argument. 'Cause I think there is something to be said for, smaller guys getting bigger. And that's something we see kind of frequently where they grow up into those weight classes and then have a lot of success in college.
Yeah. No, that definitely happens. A lot of wrestling this weekend. We had Russian Nationals. We had Mateo Pelicone. Sebastian Rivera was kind of the talk of Mateo Pelicone as he won that ranking series. He beat a lot of really tough guys. He beat a junior world champ. He beat a cadet world champ. He beat, I think, another pretty dang tough guy. I thought he looked really good. He's going to be, it'll be, he'll be an interesting guy to follow as, he'll be someone that will be at the World Championships, adding more depth to an already really deep weight class. It looks like he's adjusting, acclimating well to freestyle. And this is a guy that was, wrestling folk style this year, D1. So I'm sure he's excited to get going in his senior
Whatever
level
happened to
career.
him fighting? I thought he was gonna fight.
And maybe he will. I don't know. I obviously he's got a really close relationship with Frankie Edgar, and I don't. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he wants to give this a shot through the Olympics. It's a short while away, and then maybe make the transition. As MMA, you can have a lot of success later in life. So I
Just
think
chilling, drinking Italian coffee.
yeah, he's a very cultured man. But yeah, I thought he looked really good. He's got great neutral attacks, so it was fun to watch him navigate
Yeah, and
his
there was
way through this
I looked at the
tournament.
wrestler list. Haji Lev was initially on the list for that weight class, but didn't show up. But there was, I guess maybe he's got to be old, but Lomotadze,
Yeah, he's
he
good.
lost kind of early. Is he not good anymore? Because he used to be good.
I think with these, I'm sure it's like the Toby Keith song. They're as good once as they ever was, but I don't think he's quite. No, he's not the world finals. He might have been a world champ at one of the
I want to say he was a world
weird years.
finalist, but it was a long time ago.
Definitely a world finalist here. I'll look it up. Somewhere
Why
John
didn't
Kozak
America
screaming.
send more of a team to this one?
I don't know. It was a really close turnaround from Final X, would be my guess.
I believe a good chunk of them are going to the next one in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then the next one's only in like, what
He
is it,
did
2
win.
weeks? The Pelican was originally scheduled for February and got pushed back, so that's why these two are so close
So
together.
Lomtadze was 2019 world champ, and
Oh,
2016,
that recently?
yes, in 2016 he was silver to Logan at the World Championships.
Yeah, if you would have asked me, I would have said more back like 2012 to 2016. I would not have
Oh my
remember. I didn't
gosh,
remember
no.
2019.
Yeah.
That's kind of recent.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Wow.
But 3 years since he won Worlds.
It kind of is not that long. It's kind of not that far ago.
It's not that long ago.
Wow.
No.
Nice.
So that was the main story of Pelicone. Obviously, we didn't send a large freestyle contingent. Our ladies, I believe, wrestled really well there. I think we had a couple champs. I'll see if I can pull up.
Kozak's in the chat. He said
Skylar Grove
Aliyev
won
bumped.
gold.
Sorry, Aliyev bumped to 70, and then Lomotadze said he's coming out from 61 and he's not very good at 65.
Yeah, he should stay. He should go back down. Okay. And watching Russian Nationals, man, those guys, they've been training. They are not, they're not gonna get the world championships, it appears, but I thought they looked really good. I thought Ugoyev looked good. I thought and the thing is how competitive these guys are. The people they're wrestling are so good, and the depth of these weight classes are insane. I thought
Ridiculous, right?
Abizkadze, yes, ridiculous. I mean, multiple rank guys. Rashidov lost, which I obviously like. I don't like Rashidov very much, and
He's an evil villain.
he is a villain, and he lost in the, I think, the
In the
quarter.
semis.
Okay, semis. He did not make the finals, and then the guy that beat him did not end up winning, Omarov. So that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how deep somebody, I mean, a few of these brackets look like they got about 40 people in them.
Yeah. Shout out to Kozak for, he just made these brackets. These aren't like posted anywhere. He manually makes these. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I missed that part of it. I saw him try to post them to Twitter and he kind of messed up. I didn't realize that he created the brackets himself.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Why do you think Russia has not learned? Listen, we here in America, we have multiple bracketing software services. Why do you think they haven't learned how to post a bracket online yet?
Well, they do. They do, he just translates them.
Yeah, you want to be able to read them. They don't put really? Them in. Yeah, they put them in the.
Well, they don't have like Arena, not that I know of anyway, but they could post
use
the brackets.
It. They could use it. Arena is free.
They could.
Yeah, they should do that.
But yeah, it's not, they're not in English, so they're kind of harder to read. Although, if you watch a lot of international wrestling, you get to where you can sort of
read the shape recognize of the symbols of the Cyrillic alphabet? Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. So there were a couple notable guys not there, Sajulayev and Sidikov. Sajulayev probably just like, I'm on the team. He probably just informs Russia that he'll be on the team. Sidikov
well, this wasn't to make a team.
Right.
For the record.
But also, he will just say, I'm on the team. And who's to defy?
But there is no team.
There is a team.
Whether they will make him wrestle off. That's what they oftentimes do.
But. And then Sidikov is hurt. So Zamalov won that weight. The finish of Zamalov Valiev, you should watch it and go to the Russian Nationals recap and watch the final sprint from Valiev is like extremely exciting. He's like trying everything, jumping over, and Zamalov able to hold him off. But that's a great weight. You know, I had Baev taking third.
You guys were so high on Baev, and he won a world title, and then he's never made the team again, correct?
Because he had to move up to 74.
Yeah.
Right, didn't he win a world title in 20, what, 18, 19, somewhere there?
Yeah, at 70.
Huh.
Yeah, different guy at the weight.
The weight's just deeper. I wouldn't say he's necessarily a deeper guy, but
he's losing. Weight matters, right? Weight matters.
100%.
Yeah.
Ask James Green.
That's what I was thinking of.
We all were. Yes. Okay, so that was Russian Nationals. It was fun. You can get caught up really quick if you check out Kozak's article. I encourage you to do so. The best, most comprehensive international wrestling coverage, basically from him. But we got a lot of other guys chipping in, too. Okay. We were going to talk about a little Ohio State, Penn State, maybe? Was that what you wanted to do, JD?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go for it.
Because the new freshman situation is going to rear its head in this one, I feel like.
It very well could. Now, Kozak says, before we move on, Kozak says, Tadiev said they're working on getting into the world championships and training as if they're going to wrestle in Serbia. So, you know, that could be total, you know, hope on their part. I don't know if it's something we hope for or not. I don't know where we really fall. I kind of want to see him wrestle in it just because it'll make worlds better. But I'm not into geopolitics, so I'm not going to step in that one too deep. But yeah, Tadiev thinks they got a shot, so it's not a hard no. So more to come there. We'll keep you posted. Maybe we'll do a write-up on what Tadiev said exactly. But he's saying there's a chance.
He is.
Okay. All right.
Hey, so I was thinking about this point on the Ohio State-Penn State duel. And since it's going to come up, do you mind if we get to it first?
Why don't we get to it first?
Okay, here's the point I was thinking of. Is, you know, at 33 or at heavyweight, I think Ohio State's best option is going to be a true freshman. And now if they redshirt those guys, which is definitely possible, and, you know, say it's a second semester important duel like this, are they going to bench their starter and not give their starter the reps because it gives them a better chance to win the duel? It kind of feels weird, you know, like, and part of me says, yeah, of course you try to win the freaking duel, you know? And then part of me says like, well, if it's in the balance, you kind of want to let the guy who's going to wrestle at Big Ten get the feel for the guy and try to wrestle them and try to get better. So you leave the redshirt guy in redshirt, you know? So it's like I see both perspectives very easily, and I don't know which one I exactly fall on.
I think, listen, I kind of disagree. I guess I disagree. I understand
really completely.
I understand completely what you're saying. Yeah, but when you for especially like 33, who are they going to throw out there? That is even
so. I'm not on a side per se right
well,
now.
Well, okay, let me. They're going to throw out someone there at 33 that is not going to with it other than the true freshman. If they throw out someone that's not Nick Bouzakis or Jesse Mendez at 133, there is no amount of reps or feels that are going to get them on the Roman Bravo Young level. So who honestly cares? And maybe if you wrestle well, you might see him at Big Tens or NCAAs. Or if you're in his path. So that's your chance, right?
Sure. So hold on, Christian. Let me push back a little bit. So obviously that would be Ruben Bravo Young would be an extreme case. But say like a normal, right, your red shirt is ranked probably somewhere between 20 and 30, and your starters like maybe a fringe NCAA qualifier. Mm-hmm. And there's five, right? Because they can throw up in there five times. It's not just once. They can throw them in there up to five times. So if you take five dual meets away from the guy who's the legitimate starter, that could potentially hurt his chances at qualifying, getting a couple good wins, those type of things.
Sure. So I guess what I'm
saying.
Well, my other counterpoint is, well, who's to say that they're not going to be the guy? And that maybe this is a part of their team selection process. And it's like, okay, how do you fare against a Greg Kurfleet? Nick Feldman, how do you do against RBY, Jesse or Nick? So, you know, based on that, you get a freebie, an opportunity to see how they can step up and compete. And I think you owe it to your fans to try to win a match, right? And it's sort of unprovable to know the positive or negative impact of wrestling somebody and getting a feel for them, right? Like, there's you wrestle, and I'm using I understand that RBY is not maybe the best example, but
yeah, let's use someone else because
I'll do Kirkfleet. Kirkfleet Feldman. It could be just as beneficial for Kirkfleet to get a feel for Feldman as it is for Feldman to get a feel for Kirkfleet, especially when you consider the game planning on the other side and the way that they adjust game plans based on performance. So it's certainly questionable that the benefit of that extra feel against a guy. So just try to win the duel. You should try to win the duel. You should try to beat Penn State. If you get a chance to beat Penn State, I'm not saying they're going to or they could, but you don't throw out some guy you know is not as good. If you know that Bouzakis or Mendez are your best option at 33 and you have a chance to compete against Penn State, you put out your best team. That's my opinion. Yes. And honestly, it's got to be a pretty I like how Tom Ryan normally uses his redshirts. They try to put their best lineup out there every single year. That's something Tom Brands certainly does as well. I think it's a good thing. And I think if you got your best guy, there's nothing to say. And we've done the true freshman versus redshirt freshman and using them or saving, but you got a guy that's healthy and wrestling well and ready to go. There's you know, 5 years down the line isn't promised to anyone. Right. Look at how many guys we're seeing being like, I'm done with this. I'm going to move on to senior level. I'm going to move on with life. You don't know what that 4 or 5 years is going to do. So if they're hungry and wrestling well, put your best lineup out there. And while they're healthy. And as Ross Patton says, you don't have to sacrifice one of the Kuntz brothers, which is typically what happens. They just throw out a Kuntz at these elite.
So Christian, why wouldn't Ohio State just have Mendez or Bouzakis be the starter? They probably should, right?
I would assume
one of them will.
One of them almost has to, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now Orndorff Feldman is a different sort of thing because Orndorff is a previous All-American, I believe, and he's, you know, certainly proven. So it's not the drop off that you would see at 33 if you don't wrestle one of these true freshmen. The other interesting thing, while we're kind of talking about the lineup for Ohio State, because that's one of the bigger questions, is 141 with Dylan D'Amelio. You know, it was kind of thought coming in, like, Bouzakis 33, Mendez 41. That'll be what it is for Ohio State. And then now Jesse is not that big, right? He's really probably right now for this year a 33-pounder. So, yeah. And as is Bouzakis.
Probably
so,
one of those guys can grow a little bit, though.
I feel like Mendez has the frame to do so. I mean, Bouzakis
has been trying to, but he, like, literally cannot.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I looked at Mendez at this Ruta Supermatch that I went to. And
Durski is so much bigger.
What's that? Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, just like being close to Mendez, like, I guess I had previously thought he was bigger, right? Just not, I probably hadn't been that close to him. I was talking to his high school coach for a little bit, and I was like, dang, he's kind of small.
Yeah. That's always happens to me with wrestlers. You watch him be like, oh, this is a big kid. And then you get up next to him, like, man, these guys are freaking small because I'm smaller. Yeah. They're smaller than me. Yeah. So I know he wants to grow in because he wants to be a 65 kilo guy at the senior level, but you know, it hasn't happened. It'll happen. I mean, he's still young, right? He had a growth spurt. JD's still growing, boy. That's right. Look at him. So I think,
there are some kids who grow a lot after high school. Not everyone, but like, what about freaking Hayden Zilmer?
Hayden Zilmer. I mean, for all Hayden we know, Zilmer. Jesse Mendez he might be our rep at 125 kilos sometime down the line.
2028.
He could be our Olympian.
Okay. Yeah, he's gigantic.
Yeah. Joe Caprino wants to know if you have any tips on making a kid grow, Ben.
You know what? I have this. I do have a theory, right? I have this theory that that none of our guys at AWA stay small because we don't ever make them cut weight. But and I'm not gonna say a name here, but there was a kid who was really small, and I had suspected his dad was making him make weight a whole bunch, you know. And he said, "No, I'm not," you know, just like denied it. But I was just very suspicious. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Corona hit, his mug ain't have to make weight. When I saw him again, I was like, damn, you're huge. What happened?
He didn't have to make weight?
Bro, he gained like 20 pounds.
Yeah, if you're not depriving yourself of nutrition, turns out you grow.
It was crazy. When I saw him again, I was like, whoa, what happened? It's been like, you know, because we closed for, what did we close for? Almost 3 months. And when I saw him after the 3 months, it was like, holy crap.
Man, you must have been twitching three months without coaching.
Yeah. I actually think that literally putting your kids on a no weigh-in schedule, because some of these kids now, when they're younger, they compete so frequently. And obviously no one wants to put themselves in it. And this is, you know, like we don't really like having our kids compete at a high level. Like I got a couple 12 U's here. I didn't really encourage them to come. And one of them's a younger brother. But it's like, these dudes are cutting weight at 12U, and I really, really do not like it. And so my kids aren't going to be really that competitive because they're just not cutting weight.
They're not
going to
cut the weight.
And so, but it's hard, right? Because then emotionally you want to be competitive, but then you realize you're not going to make the kids do the things necessary. So to me, it's like, why show up, right? Why put your kids in a situation where they're at such a huge disadvantage? Just don't put them in a situation. And then by the 14U, you know, that's like seventh, eighth grade. They should be, you know, doing the right things, not cutting tremendous amounts of weight, but doing the right things to make the weight class. And then obviously most kids are stronger by that time too. So it's not as much of a factor as when they're 70 pounds and the other kid's cutting a bunch of weight. It's a factor still, but not as much. And the more you get into high school, the less of a factor it becomes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for those smaller weight classes, those young 12U kids, I mean,
it's crazy.
Someone cutting down 5-6 pounds. That is just such a huge advantage from, you know, a high school weight class, which are much more spread apart. And yeah, that horsepower is such a decider in a lot of these youth matches too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, for the younger guys, yes, it really is.
Yep. Okay. So let's do this duel. Ohio State versus Penn State. Now at 125, we have a match that's happened before. Malik Heinzelman versus Robbie Howard. Robbie had lost to him, I think, once, and then he got him at NCAAs, Robert won. So definitely a toss-up match, probably a one takedown match if Malik Heinzelman has anything to say about it. And yeah, you know, so part of me going into this prior to the freestyle performance from Robbie, I would have probably picked Robbie just because your development, getting healthy. And then Heinzelman is like still basically the same guy he's been since really his true freshman year. Like tough out, but no mat game, and he's 1 to 2 takedowns a match. It's tough. But I think this is as coin flip a match as we'll have in this dual meet. But I'll take Heinzelman in this one.
I actually don't feel nearly as split as you do, Christian.
Really?
I feel like, yeah. I mean, given who Robbie Howard just lost to and Steen's not really killing it, I feel like Heinzelman has been consistently getting better. It's not not huge amounts, but he's gotten better every year. If he just gets a little better this year, I think he's kind of in the bottom AA tier, and I think he's going to be good to go on this one.
Okay, so you've got Malik. I have Malik as well.
I feel pretty confident in that one.
James Dean.
I'm more on CP, but this is a toss-up. It could go either way, depending on when and where this happens. I really do hope we see Robbie Howard this year. Like I said, he
put on Instagram literally yesterday that his shoulder's fine. And for people to stop asking.
Really?
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if it's still up.
I thought it was like his elbow that was like completely dislocated. All right. At World Team Trials.
Well, he said, shoulders are fine. Thank you for the concern. No need to keep asking.
Okay.
Smiley face.
So I will go with Malik as well. As
dang. The Malik sweep. Okay, now 33. Let's actually make our prediction. Who is Ohio State's 133 this year? Who's it going to be?
Oh, Jesse Mendez.
Mendez, he says.
I think that's the right pick.
What's your prediction?
And he beats RBY.
I would have said that going into it, and then, you know, obviously the World Team Trials plays out how it played out, and they just seem to be neck and neck to me.
Yeah, I think I think Mendez really loves to compete big time. He's gonna be pushing to be put in there. I can't believe you guys didn't push back. I was joking when I said he's gonna beat RBY. I'm gonna pick RBY.
I thought you were.
I was just trying to get you guys up.
Well, I assume
trying to get you guys riled up.
I mean, Ben, it's not that. It's pretty obvious you're kidding when you say that.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Dang it, I gotta be more. I gotta sell it harder. No, but I think Mendez really loves to compete, and he's gonna push to be the guy. And Buzakis obviously has a junior world to go wrestle in, and you know, who knows, maybe keep him occupied. That's with some freestyle Greco, and you know, keep him doing that during the season, and then let Mendez wrestle in the next year. And then by the next year, hopefully they're either 33-41, or at that point, then you redshirt Mendez, and then by 2 years, one of them mugs better be bigger.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could alternate them the first 2 years. Yeah, that's a good point. So Buzakis focused on Junior Worlds up until late in the summer. Therefore, Mendez just zeroes in on being the 33. That kind of makes sense to me. But you know, one thing we've seen with those Junior World guys is they make big jumps sometimes in the summer. Just all those reps against the elite guys and the camps, and the USA staff does great. I remember Colin Moore, when he made that Junior World team, he made like insane leaps from a guy that was like really not even talked about to then he was.
Well, that's also part of it. I think he didn't have access to a lot of that before. Nick Buzakis has.
Wait, I thought.
But even still,
was already at Ohio State at that point in time.
Yes, he was. He made it after his.
He was, but if you looked at his redshirt year and you looked at even his open performance that year, it was not strong.
Strictly the access. The point about JD made about access.
Well, if you think that being in the Ohio State room and on the Junior World team is comparable to the training he was getting in Florida, I would just have to disagree really strongly. He certainly had good.
Who are you talking about?
Well, I'll talk about Buzakis.
Colin Moore.
He hasn't been in Florida in a long time.
Well, where? So
I was talking about Wyoming Seminary. Wherever.
Yeah. Wyoming Seminary. Same thing.
And he made a Junior World team last year.
I was talking about Colin Moore.
Yes.
Okay, that's different. I know you're talking about Colin Moore, but I'm talking. Okay. the point is Bouzakis' training environment is significantly improved. And a Greco Junior World Team training camp is not comparable to freestyle in terms of folk style applicability.
Your head files.
Huh?
Those Greco guys, they might not even, they might shake your hand and then just throw you. They might not even.
I don't think Greco is a good base for folk style training.
That's okay. I agree. I'm not saying
I don't think they would disagree. They couldn't possibly. So yeah, I think there's a big opportunity for Bouzakis to jump levels here. But then again, Mendez just staying behind, zeroing in. I think there's going to be a wrestle off in the unless there's a circumstance where one of them's like, I would rather redshirt than the other guy. Maybe we'll take it. I don't know. I don't know the dynamics there. So I'll say it's Mendez. Yeah.
I'll go Mendez as well, just because I know I like Jesse. Doesn't matter for this duel, though.
Does not matter. It's a decision for RBY, in my opinion.
I could see Major.
Okay.
Major, I'm saying no. Listen, Mendez had a 12-3 lead on Seth Gross. Seth Gross just beat Dayton Fix. No, I think RBY is going to win, but I would be shocked if it's a blowout.
Here's who Roman bonus last year. He pinned Josh Coderhant. He majored Dom LaJoy. He majored Matt Ramos. He teched Serrano and Kohler. He teched King Sandoval. I don't think there's anyone of Mendez's caliber that got bonus last year by Roman Barlow Young.
I was hoping that was the point you were going to make.
That is the point I'm making. I can see
Roman getting up by 4 or 5, you know, like a couple takedowns. And then one of the guys, maybe even Bouzakis, tries to go upper body, get something big late, and he, like, secures a late takedown to win by 8.
Maybe.
Like a 9-1, something mm-hmm. like that, where he got, you know, 3 takedowns, maybe 2 backs and an escape. Maybe a writing time point, maybe 3 takedowns. 2 backs in the right time.
Not unreasonable. I have a – it could certainly transpire that way, and there have been better guys that have been bonused, but
– especially for a young guy, I could see getting down by 2 takedowns early, going, oh, crap.
Really?
I need to go get some takedowns. I need to score opening up, and then Roman's like, sweet, dude, go behind.
I feel like Mendez has always done such a good job at, like, coming out fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, I could see Mendez maybe getting an early takedown or two, and then RBY starting to wear him down and pick him apart as it gets later in the match.
I think it's a pretty competitive match, and this is a guy that, especially when you consider Roman can ride for sure. I'm not dismissing his mat wrestling, but he makes his money as a neutral wrestler. He gets takedowns. He doesn't get taken down. And so if you're envisioning a neutral battle, we know that Mendez can compete with. I don't think he's better than Roman on his feet. I'm not even suggesting that. I don't think Nick is either. But he can wrestle with really good guys on his feet, as evidenced by his senior level run. I think it's a decision. I feel actually pretty comfortable in Mendez holding it to a decision.
I agree.
I'm going decision.
Okay, here we go. Main event. Dylan D'Amelio versus Bo Bartlett. Now, DD versus BB.
Oh, my gosh.
So, these two wrestled... did they wrestle at Super 32?
I feel like they did. Maybe like
I think D'Amelio won. Yeah.
I think so also.
Yeah. So D'Amelio beat him. This was in 2018, so super recent.
I feel like Bo Bartlett actually. So remember last week I said I kind of maybe pick on Bo Bartlett too much, but because you're always just talking crazy.
I've never said anything crazy about Bo Bartlett.
Crazy about Bo Bartlett, Christian Piles.
Listen, look at 141 pound rankings right now, and tell me Bo Bartlett can't beat a lot of these guys. Tell me who he can't beat. You tell me Bo Bartlett cannot beat CJ Composto, who's going to be ranked fourth.
Listen, you were trying to convince me Bo Bartlett could beat Yanni last year. I'm not.
No, stop. Stop.
I heard you.
That's not true.
Came out of your mouth.
We all heard you. Rewind the tape.
It didn't. And if you can produce it, please do. And I'd be, if I said it, it was obviously a joke.
No, I feel like Bo Bartlett has improved more than Dom D'Amelio. And I think it's pretty evident Bo Bartlett is going to win this match.
Would it change your mind at all if I told you he just beat him at U20 World Team Trials this month?
That happened?
Yes.
They're not U20s, though. So it's
the quarterfinals, 65 kg. D'Amelio won.
Wow.
8-6.
That's U23s. That happened?
That happened.
Christian Piles, defend yourself.
Freestyle. That's the only defense really you can have.
Bo's usually better at freestyle.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes it tough. That's what makes this tough for me, Ben.
Wow. All right. I put my foot in my mouth so bad.
Send that match to Tyler. Let's slowly watch through it.
I'm going D'Amelio then, and I look like a moron. Because, wow, I did not realize that happened, and that does D'Amelio did not have a great college year.
I feel like he was sort of up and down, if I'm remembering correctly. Yes, it was 3 weeks ago. Man. I don't know. I'm having a hard time picking against him, though. You know?
22-11, made the national tournament, was 1-2. He lost to Kinner. He beat Josh Mason, and he lost to Ironman.
That's not terrible.
He beat Tal Shahar, and he beat Phileas at Big Tens. He got a win over Sebastian. He lost to Berglund. He lost to Ironman.
Bo was up 4-0 on this guy. What in the heck? Picking him apart with one.
He did have a win over Cole Matthews.
That's not bad.
That's his best win of the year for sure. He doesn't really have any other super highly ranked wins.
Bo was up 5-1. In the first period. Now,
D'Amelio got a big four.
There's no big fours in
which opened it up.
He hasn't watched the match.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could get it with this fireman's. He might have gotten backers? 6 points.
Some backers?
Nah, I think Bo actually rolled through it.
That's interesting. So this will be a huge. I mean, probably be must win for Ohio State. They're going to need this one for sure.
They're going to need this one. They're going to get this one. Man, Christian, do you ever just like shake your head sometimes when you say stupid stuff like I just did? And then you're like, oh man, that really happened?
The four pointer in that D'Amelio hit is exactly 0 points in folk style of note. Just literally worthless.
Sending your boy Bo Bartlett to the death.
No. That's not defense. That's not that's
I think
just,
it's right here if you're watching.
It's just a mere fact of life that is not any points at all.
Tyler, actually fast forward like 30 seconds on that clock, Tyler.
When there's
you can see the
yeah. When there's 1:26 left in the second. Yeah, just let it play from here. It's about to come. It's nice. Don't get it twisted, but Bo completely recovers. Well, that is four in freestyle. And those are the rules.
And maybe I hate it when I actually do hate it when people say things like you just did, Christian, because obviously if you're an intelligent wrestler, you're going to do the maneuvers that work the most effectively for that style. You're not going to say like, well, I'm not going to do this one because it wouldn't be points in folk style, right? You're just going to try to get the 4 points.
Well, and I mean, similarly, when you're watching a freestyle match for folk style application, it's basically who won the takedown battle, right? If you're trying to actually glean something.
But it shouldn't be, Christian. And then, like for me, I scored so many points on front head pinches and gut wrenches, which are 0 points in folk style. But it was like, okay, these holds are the ones that are most effective for freestyle. So a really intelligent athlete is going to cater their style to what's most effective for that rule set.
I know that. But like similarly, Bo gets a bunch of step outs here. Those aren't any points in folk style either. I'm not putting a bunch of stock in this.
Okay, cool. I'm just saying that I really don't like it when some people like discount specific performances.
That's not discounting. That's not discounting.
I sound like you're doing discount double check for a second.
No double check. I'm no Aaron Rodgers, that's for sure. I'm just saying a lot of these exchanges don't have a lot of application when we're talking about a folk style match. That's a fact. A 4-point dump is not, that doesn't mean as much as it does in freestyle. That's a fact. So it's, I'm not dismissing. This is obviously an earned win by D'Amelio.
Yeah.
And Bartlett, you know, Bartlett has blown some leads. I'm pretty sure he had, at World Team Trials, I forget who, he was up pretty big against, it might have been Ian Parker, I can't recall. But he was up against someone, and he blew a big lead there. That is a concern on being unable to hold leads. But anyways, I'll pick Bo in this instance. You know, I feel like
picking Bo.
Yeah, who'd you pick
after all of that?
After all, what? What'd you expect me to do?
I thought you were picking D'Amelio, given the evidence that we had.
You didn't. Or yeah, you did. You all did.
No, okay. I am. I'm picking D'Amelio because I feel like an idiot.
I'm going Bo.
Boom. He's coming around.
Haters and losers. Haters and losers.
I don't hate Dylan D'Amelio. I think he's really good. We'll see. I'll be okay. All the Bo BS aside, this is kind of the put up or shut up year for me and my Bo trumpeting because I run out of all.
Argument.
I run out of everything if it doesn't materialize this year, and he doesn't have to win NCAAs though he could win NCAAs.
No, I mean, listen, if Bo Bartlett is a solid mid-range All-American, say 4-6, I think there's a significant improvement and a great performance by him.
Yeah, so he's down at his best weight. He's at 141 might be one of the most wide open, which is code for least proven weight classes in NCAAs this year, barring some other guys moving up.
Total sidebar. Is Quincy Monday really going up?
Oh, I didn't hear that. Where did you hear
There's
that?
Another site that had him in the rankings at 165 pounds. I should have asked the Princeton coaches when we were on the phone the other day.
Yeah, opportunity missed. I'll ask. Maybe I'll get an answer. Okay.
They actually probably listened to the show because they did steal a clip when I brought up what they had said about their graduation rate, and they put it up on social media. Pretty smart of them, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, I can't see you guys. I like it when I can see you. I can only see the D'Amelio and Bartlett match.
Really? I can't even see that right now. So,
Hey, there you are.
Hi. All right, we're up to 149. Sammy Sasso versus Shane Van Ness.
Don't do it, Christian.
Oh no.
I'm gonna talk you off a ledge here. Don't do it.
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is this. Look into it. Shane.
No, Sasso, let's go.
Yeah, I think Sasso. I think this will be Shane's first time against Sammy. I think they'll have him prepared for some of his stuff, but man, what he'll take an attack and Sammy'll counter. Get a score. The cradle's always a looming threat for Sammy, but I think it's just a decision win for Sasso. I don't think he pins him or bonuses him.
I agree.
Shane, it's a total guess with Shane right now.
That's why I say you can't pick Shane at this point.
What would you be basing it on? You're literally, I don't know what it would be based on.
That's what you did last week. What did you do with Shane Van Ness last week? You picked him over, you picked him over freaking Kyle Parko.
Yeah. Listen, I have a tendency to err on the side of if I think it maybe sort of is questionable or close. I think if in general you skew toward Penn State, you're going to be right a lot more. And that's been basically true for me since I started doing this show.
All right, fair enough.
I remember a Cornell coach coming up to me like, "You are an idiot." When I picked Bo Nickel to beat Gabe Dean at preseason, I picked him to do this. It's like, maybe, and I didn't refute that I could be an idiot, but Look into it. They're really good. Okay. 57.
Hey, I got 8 minutes left or so. So
all right, we'll get through it. It gets right. A little faster here. Gallagher versus Terrell Bearclaw.
This is the biggest coin flip here, guys. You said 33, or you said 25. Really? I say it's this one.
You're giving a lot.
Who are you going to pick?
What? Patty. You were giving a lot of credit to Terrell Bearclaw, in my opinion.
Let me look at Patty's record. Now we're slowing down the show, and I'm going to Patty. I should have the wrestle statue. I feel like Patty Gallagher was good, not great last year, and I feel the exact same way about Bearclaw.
17-2 with losses to – he had a forfeit. He lost to Levi Haynes.
And Michael Petit.
Well, and maybe they'll bring Michael in Levi Pett. Haynes. Why aren't we putting Levi Haynes in Penn State's roster?
I don't think he can make 57 anymore.
Levi?
Yeah.
He just made 54.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's mounting evidence to the contrary. All I know is none of them will beat Mitchell Messenbrink. Shout out.
He lost to Michael Pettit. Dude. Patty Gallagher's year was – you guys are overrating his year. He lost to, on WrestleStat, the number 38 guy, and he lost to a high school kid. His best win is number – That's a forfeit. His best win's number 92, Trenton Watcher.
Okay. Look at Terrell's year.
It's not great either.
No. He lost to number 86, Jalen Harper. Listen, Pat, I have Patty here. I have no reservations about it. I'm not predicting a bonus. I'm not saying Terrell Bearclaw is not an NCAA caliber wrestler. I'm just saying, if at this point in time, Patty Gallagher is not, after being a year in the room there, is not beating to Terrell Bearclaw, something is wrong with that picture, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, what if it's Haynes?
Obviously,
probably go with Haynes.
Bearclaw's level of competition was much, much higher this year when you just kind of look through both of their stats. It's not very good, and Patty Gallagher had a lot more wins, but I think if the level of competition for Bearclaw looked like Gallagher's, he'd have a lot more wins too. And I think, I wouldn't say rule out if Levi Haynes is the best guy, he might go at 57.
Especially given the rule. Especially given how much Kale likes to stick it to Ohio State. It's his favorite. He loves it. So if he can throw that wrinkle, I would pick Haynes to beat Patty. I mean, he already beat him. Patty was a college wrestler. He lost to him.
We made the Ohio State 133 pick. Who do you think is the guy at 157?
For this duel, it's kind of tough.
I'd say putting Haynes out there.
Man, Kale might have some fun with this new rule, playing some head games. Yeah, I think NCAA-wise, I'm not sure the value of – for NCAAs, I don't see the value of using Levi this year. But I could see him getting used to this.
You think they're going to win?
They are just such runaway favorites here.
So
many times they wrestle the best guy.
I was about to say, you do the thing you said just 5 minutes ago. You got a guy, he's the guy, he's the best guy, he's ready, you send him out. You smoke him if you got him.
But with the squad they have, why?
Because if he's ready, you never know. Like
he's
you said,
ready to beat Patty Gallagher. Is he ready to place?
I think Henry is kind of thinned out a lot. So I think there's a potential there. And then the other thing, Christian, you got to think about is if he bumps up, then it's him or Facundo. So maybe you go him at 57 for 1 year and then you put him behind Facundo for a year as a red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense also. Or if Facundo's not getting the job done, then, you put Haynes as the guy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I got to run, so I'll make my picks real quick. I'm going to go. Here's what I'm going to go. I'm going to go Levi Haynes over Patty Gallagher, 57. Karchla wins at 65. Soraki wins at 74. He's competitive, though. Derek Brooks wins 84, competitive also, no major. Gavin Hoffman's probably not going to pull the upset. So I'm going to go Max Dean, and then they are going to pull out Nick Feldman. He's going to win the duel for him.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're getting that in the dock. We'll finish. So you're not on the show Wednesday, and what's up Thursday?
I'm there Thursday. I'm ready Thursday.
Okay, boom. Have fun.
I got disc golf tournament. I got a big disc golf tournament tomorrow at my house.
Don't blow it, dude. Have fun.
All right. See you guys. Hey, buddy.
See ya. Thank you, Ben. Okay. See ya. He's gone. He's in Utah to coach the young Asker Knights to victory. And we will move forward, James Dean. Who do you have? Are you putting Levi there for the?
I think we said Levi's going to be the guy.
It's hard to, yeah. What would be the downside to using Levi in that? I don't see any. For the same reason I think you use Jesse or Nick at 33 in this duel, even if they're not going to be the guy at Big Tens.
Especially considering there are several toss-up matches in this duel that could make it close.
Yeah. Okay. Carson Karchla versus Alex Facundo. I'm going Karchla here. I think... Listen, this guy was right there with basically everyone last year. He's an incredibly good 65-pounder, tough dude. Facundo's not someone you can discount, and if he gets three cracks at Karchla, who Carson is not afraid of just wrestling a one-takedown match and winning it, you could see Facundo maybe competing in one of those, but... This first time, this will be the duel. I've got Carson winning this one.
Yeah, you kind of have to go with Carson in this one. He proved last year he's a top guy.
Yes. 74, Carter Storaci versus Ethan Smith. Competitive match. Potentially even exciting, but at the end of it, you got to go with Carter.
Have to.
Got to. Contractually obligated. Aaron Brooks versus Caleb Swolmarrow.
Same thing.
As the Twitter handle says, AB all day. And I got Brooks. It's a decision for sure. I don't see any bonus points. 97, Hoffman's, man, one of the more improved guys in NCAA wrestling. He really turned a lot of heads last year making the semis. But we saw what happened in the semis, and it'll be similar. Max Dean in this scenario. And I don't know about Feldman over.
That's jumping the gun a bit.
That's classic gun jumping from Ben there. I've got Kurt Fleet winning by decision over whoever Ohio State puts out.
Yep.
And I think you would be foolish to assume it'll be Feldman. I think it's certainly a possibility, but I don't know that for sure.
No, I agree. Do you think, and I don't think this, because we've seen Feldman wrestle controlled matches, especially recently, mm-hmm. some top matches, but because he is more of a high-paced heavyweight, that there you run the risk of against the best guys like Schultz, a Kirkfleet, Cassiope, potentially giving up bonus.
Ooh.
Versus Orndorff, he's not going to shoot himself into that.
That is a thing. I think you can shoot yourself out of the match. I don't know if he's going to shoot himself into getting bonus. I would be surprised if a Cassiope could bonus him. Kirkfleet, I don't see that, honestly. I think it's just a straight takedown battle with Greg and Nick if it happens.
I forgot. Kirk majored Orndorff twice last year.
Yeah. Good gracious.
So he might have to go major if Orndorff's out there.
Yeah, if he's done it twice. And I think it should be Feldman here. You should use Feldman. This is the perfect scenario to use him because it's low risk. You get a crack at their guy. You can see how he stacks up against, a top three or four heavyweight without the risk of pulling the red shirt. You've got to save. I think you've got to use Feldman here, especially with, Orndorff has had multiple cracks, right? So you gotta use Feldman in this scenario. And all that said, I think it's probably Greg, but definitely a very interesting match for Ohio State, who, they had this guy. They had Greg Kirkfleet. Now they got another, Greg was the number one heavyweight, pretty sure at that time. And now they got another number one heavyweight that's gonna try to beat him. So that'll be a very, very juicy match. Should it happen. And that's Ohio State, Penn State.
We both have Penn State winning. By 3, 6.
No
nine,
bonus
12.
For any of us.
No. 15.
21-9 for me.
Ben has it, actually, I believe, tied, so it would come down to criteria.
And he said that Feldman wins it for him, so we assume he gets the takedowns necessary for the criteria win, and then you've got it.
That would make that D'Amelio Bartlett match very big.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of toss-up matches in here with Robbie Malik, Dylan Bowe. Apparently 57 is a major toss-up if it's Bearclaw, but Haynes, I guess we're saying. They need Gallagher to win, I think, to win this duel as well. They need D'Amelio. They need Gallagher. They need Malik if they want to be in this duel.
I agree.
Fun duel. And the dynamic of the not redshirt pool but true freshman getting thrown out there is going to make a lot of these duels and the speculation going into the duels so fun. Really looking forward to all that. Looking forward to the upcoming season. Why don't we go to some questions, young James?
Let's get it.
The Real Avery Lynch has been asking food-related questions for quite some time, and I don't think we've answered many of them. So let's answer this one. Dream breakfast meal.
Dream breakfast meal.
I don't know a dream. I'm just going to give just kind of my ideal, probably. I love steak and eggs. A nice medium rare.
It's hard to get good steak and eggs, though.
I know. That's why this is the dream. A good steak.
That's true.
A good steak. Imagine you go to a steakhouse and you get that good steak. It's that steak, JD. That's the steak we're getting. And then we're going to get three.
We're at Vince Young's Longhorn Steakhouse.
That's right. That's right. Here in Austin, Texas.
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. And I'm saying, Vince, I know you're back there. Make me that real good medium rare steak. A nice New York strip. I like a New York strip. I'll eat a sirloin. A lot of people look down on sirloins. Not me. Very relatable. I love the steak. I love
Common
sirloin.
Common man. Wow.
Yep. I love a good ribeye. I might go ribeye. I'll say New York strip, medium rare. Three over easy eggs and some really good bread, toasted bread. And that's it for me. You know, good coffee and water. That's my dream breakfast.
My go-to at a diner, so, and I'll say it's my dream breakfast as well. I'm a basic man, just kind of a Denver omelet.
Okay,
some
I love
ham,
omelets.
Bacon, cheese, you know, some hash browns on the side to eat with as well. Some cheddar cheese in there, maybe some peppers, maybe a little spinach, tomatoes, and then a small side of pancakes with maple syrup and butter.
Yeah,
coffee and a water.
Yeah, I might have my mom make the bacon that she makes because it's really good. May have a lot. There's two pieces of bacon to go along with it.
Yeah, I like the bacon in the omelet.
It's okay. That's okay. I like the veggie omelet.
Veggie? No meat?
Well, no, and ham. Yeah, so I like the peppers and the onions, tomatoes, ham, bacon, cheese.
You a
sour cream.
Crispy bacon boy or thin? Or loose.
Well, I like it. I don't like it loose. I want it crispy. I want that thing snapping.
No.
You like it loose?
Yeah, you just like burnt meat. You like your bacon well done.
No. I like it. I like it to crisp a little bit. Okay, Coach Chris. All right, we talked about Coach Chris, we talked about the states, the new weight classes. Next question. Okay, Johnny Roast Beef. I'm a wrestler first and BJJ guy second, but Who's Next is definitely one of my favorite things that Flo has ever done. I know wrestling and jiu-jitsu have major differences, but what are the chances you guys will be able to organize a wrestling version of Who's Next? We certainly could do it, for sure. Definitely something we're talking about doing. Glad you enjoyed Who's Next. Hope all of you go back and watch it. If you haven't watched it, many of you have. I'm really stunned how many wrestling people have watched this. But as I said, we set out with the goal of making something that you don't have to be a jiu-jitsu person to enjoy. And that's been the case. And it's been awesome. It's definitely the most ambitious project we've ever had at Flow. And yeah, encourage you guys to watch it. We have the Who's Next finale July 14th here in Austin, Texas, the Palmer Events Center. I think tickets may still be available. It may be nearly sold out if you want to go to that, but you can watch live on Flow Grappling. All Flow subscribers can watch it. So if you have a subscription, check it out. And the videos are up for free, so you can watch those. And we're putting them on YouTube. So check it out. Would love to do it in wrestling. Everyone would. Getting the jiu-jitsu guys is a lot easier than the wrestling guys because it's just, as I've discussed before and won't bring it up again, the economies are just very different where jiu-jitsu guys need to compete and be visible, and a lot of wrestling and senior-level wrestlers are paid by, you know, funded by charity, and it's just a different dynamic altogether.
Pew, sold pew. Out.
Sold out. No, forget it. No more tickets for the Who's Next finale. We're sold out. Sorry, guys. But it's going to be epic. Okay, this is a good question from Dan Altos. If JB wins number 7 this year, is he the auto GOAT, or does John Smith 6 straight still trump him, or is it still a debate?
Well, auto is what makes this a question because, in my opinion, he's already GOAT.
Wow.
And it's, that's interesting. It's not even like a hard argument for me, really.
Really?
Really.
Man, I think there is something pretty special about 6 in a row, uninterrupted. John did have losses in there, but to win 6 straight world and Olympic titles, my answer is no, he's not the auto GOAT if he wins 7. 7 being a bigger number than 6 is not like the differentiator. It is another bullet, another cap and a feather in the cap for the team JB side, but I don't think it makes him the auto GOAT. I think it is still a debate, unquestionable.
I agree that there still will always be debate.
If JB ran 22-23-24, the auto GOAT, right? I mean that is an indisputable GOAT resume if he does it at his age. Now that is a
well, you could always play the what if game.
What if what?
What if John would have kept wrestling?
But he did not.
I know.
That would be – I don't think you can play that game. You can only judge it by the merits of what you did, right? You can't base it on what may have happened. If Jordan were to run 3 in a row now and sweep the quad, go 21, 22, 23, 24, which, I mean, I'll be honest, as big a Jordan Burroughs fan as I am, I think that's – in a lot of ways, far-fetched that he would be able to. And the biggest aspect of that would be going down to 74 and winning the Olympics there, winning that spot. I think he'll win. He's my prediction to win Worlds or this up. Year. Or up. I would love it. He has told me after I kind of gave him my pitch on that, he's not even considering that. But it could be a big, massive smokescreen, which I think would be genius. I think he should go up. As everyone knows that listens to this show, I don't think he will go up. But yeah, it is an indisputable resume if Jordan were to do that. Now, I do think he will win in 22 and 23. I think he'll win this year. I think he'll make the team next year. I think he'll win again. That's my thought. But very much a debate. Very much a debate.
You don't think it's still a debate? Say, what if makes the team in 2024, but doesn't win gold?
I think it's tough because 2 Olympic titles is just something that is really special about what John did, I think. And given
the crystal very conveniently timed for him.
How do you mean?
That like he didn't come out of college, or like when he started, he wasn't like at the first year of a cycle. Like that he was able to do it like within 6 years instead of like 7 years.
Okay, got it. Like,
just that he had that a couple shorter.
But he won a world title in college, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes, but like he got to go like in that time frame. Like he didn't have to make it longer.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't understand, but that's okay. So I think it's...
Like, he only had to go 6 years to win 2 Olympic titles.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Well, the... Sure, but you... The you would only need 4 years to win two Olympic titles.
That's true.
Okay. It's a debate. I think it's a debate that will probably rage. My prediction is it's the debate of debates for some time, because I don't think Jordan's going to do anything super definitive to put his stamp that says I'm unquestionably the greatest of all time. The question will be, how long will they be the one and two, and how long is it before someone comes along and, you know, maybe changes that dynamic? Because what's interesting is, my thought is, Snyder, or for Sagalaev, I think he's going to go through 24. That'll give him 10. Well, maybe not, though. Now, 10, maybe not, because I think Sagalaev wrestles through 24, and then he is basically the greatest to ever do it, and then retires. And then Snyder, who is going to be still very young at that point. I mean,
yes.
for an upper weight.
What is he, 26?
He's 26 right now, I believe. He is 26 until November of 2020. So with that factored in, I see him, you know, picking up where Sagalaev leaves off and then winning some more titles. And that's not to say he can't win between now and then. He's certainly going to try, and he might get a title this year. So Snyder could be a guy that accumulates a lot more gold 24 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a different thing. And then he's got he starts his career winning three in a row, and he literally has the feather in a cap of beating the GOAT. He has a win over him, which will be as good a win as either these guys, John or him. So John has Belaglazov, I believe. But so yeah, it'll be a debate that rages on for sure.
I'm sure Kyle doesn't think this way, but it is so unfortunate for him that he's at the same time and weight as Sagalaev.
I
think of him in a totally different way if he is not at Sagalaev's weight.
Seriously. I mean, it's just a fact. If Sagalaev stays 86 all this time, and then we view David Taylor differently, right? Because David is interesting against Sagalaev, but, I mean, I just don't think there's a scenario anyone's better than this guy.
I mean, David just lost to Yazdani.
Yeah, I think Yazdani would get worked by Sagalaev. But I do think David matches up better than Yazdani does. But no one matches up great, honestly. You gotta be pretty freaking special. So yeah, the goat debate is very, very fun. All right. Next up. Let me see this other question here. What do we think of Imar leaving Oregon State for Illinois? I think it's he went from being an assistant at Oregon State to a volunteer assistant at Illinois. So it's not like a lateral move necessarily, which, you know, that's, I think, is notable. I think Illinois was a good spot for him previously. I think, from a competitive standpoint, the Imar at Illinois versus the Imar at Oregon State, that's like a completely different competitor. So I could see that if this is for him ramping up to to becoming more of a competitor again and getting back to like where he was as the guy that beat Jordan Burroughs, took a match from him and was looking great, to when he went to Oregon State, I feel like we didn't see that guy since. So I think if he's going there to kind of breathe more life into his senior level career, I think probably a smart move. Because I think at Oregon State that wasn't going to be the case. I think at Oregon State he needs to be a coach there, right? And where at Illinois as a volunteer, maybe he can be more of a that training partner, supporting element as a coach, but someone that's really focusing on getting as good as they can for the senior level, which is what I think he was doing when he was at Illinois previously.
Maybe. And like I said, maybe anytime I see coach even attached to it, even if it's just basically a name tag, I'm kind of weary, just because the best guys in this country don't even waste their time associating that, putting that tag.
Yeah, Dake has kind of been off and on with the staff for Cornell, while you know, while making teams, I believe. He was in Yanni's corner for one of his titles. So he's sort of been there, but, like, not a ton. Who else has? Not Gilman. Yeah, most of them have not. Gross just made a team as a coach. But, yeah, I mean, I do think it is it.
I'm talking about
the best of the best.
Your Gilman's, Kyle's, David's, Jordan's.
Yeah, they're just wrestling.
Yep.
And Jordan did it 1 year and was like, no, I'm not going to – this is not good. It's taking too much of a distraction. If you're doing coaching right, then your senior level career should be taking a back seat.
Yeah, it's a all your eggs in one basket thing. It's hard to put your foot in the door, two different doors.
Right.
Even if it is only taking a little bit of time, like, that's time you could just be, like, relaxing, not thinking about anything, you know?
Exactly. Okay. We're going to call it there. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. No, Ben. But I think Shane and you.
I'll be here.
You leave Thursday.
I will not be here Thursday.
And then Ben's back Thursday. So it's just me this week. The constant. A little snip-snap action. We'll all be here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great, great Tuesday. 1 week coming, and we will see you tomorrow. See you guys.